Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics, right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Forest, a safe place where we have the freedom to think about life without judgment. We take a look at society, we examine it, and we allow for the possibility of something new, something different. And now, here's your host, Alan Ritter.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to this first Sunday in June 2017, the 4th of June, and another Sunday evening, the first day of the week, the beginning of a new week. And I'd like to share some interesting tidbits from this last week, which was something I had a lot of very interesting moments this last week. I have this little Excel spreadsheet diary that I keep for myself that sort of came to be out of me wanting to keep track of or give myself little encouragements by quote-unquote summing up my weekly achievement. So I have this spreadsheet that sort of I can give myself a higher, quote-unquote, number grade by filling in little achievements that I do, like pumping up my bike tires or riding my bike more miles or doing certain breathing exercises more times each week. And they give little bitty, you know, additions to my total grade of I'm trying to get a 1 for the whole week, and it's pretty hard to do that because you have to do all these tasks, but I try to do all the tasks. I never get to quite do them all, but I have in the in this spreadsheet a line called specials for in case something falls out of the sky that's really interesting, really incredible. And one of my friends who I met through starting the Produce Club is a voice actor and bit part or extra actor in the Philadelphia area. And she said, hey, there's this opportunity and they're trying to fill a room with people in the Philadelphia area to listen to a little talk, a forum. It's 3 hours of work, and they're paying $40 an hour. And of course, I was very interested in attending that if I could. And so this last Wednesday, I attended it, and I had to jump through a whole bunch of hoops because I didn't own a suit, and we had to find a suit, and we found suit and, you know, and shoes and a decent shirt, a good shirt, and, you know, tie and all that good stuff for a really good price. And I was able to go over and sit and hear this talk. And it was very interesting because you just never know, you know, who you're going to be sitting in front of or what the purpose of the talk is. But it was an economics forum, And we got all settled, and the special guests got the special members of the audience got to come in and be settled as well. And then the participants, the panel came out, and we were all pretty shocked. All the members of the audience were pretty shocked because one of the members of the panel was Alan Greenspan. And of course, from my perspective, Alan Greenspan is not somebody who played with M millions of dollars or B billions of dollars, but made huge choices for T and to T trillions of dollars and beyond trillions of dollars. So he's someone that that I pay attention to or I'm interested in, not so much anymore because I see a larger picture than Alan Greenspan, the actor acting as a part of the entertainment called government. But within the fantasy that government exists and it's real, he's a pretty powerful player. So we listened to him talk for a while, and that was pretty interesting. So that went into my inspirations and my specials for the week, as well as a few other things. So it was a pretty, usually I go through a week and I don't have a special, but last week I went through a week. I actually met some folks on Memorial Day and had a picnic with some folks, and usually I don't have anything planned for holidays. Just don't have circles of friends and things to do, but I actually met with some people, and it was from a friend in Lansdale, Pennsylvania, and it's not somebody that we were having like a meet-up with people she didn't know. She actually has become involved with these people, and they're pretty nice people. They're really normal people, and so I got along with them really well, and they seemed to get along with me really well, and we turned around, and a couple of days later, she was saying, well, they have something planned for the same park for the 4th of July. Did I want to go? So I said, well, that sounds interesting. Sure, I'll go. And after I had made that commitment, something sort of changed on the inside, and I actually got to reflect saying, wow, I actually have plans for the 4th of July, and I haven't had plans for the 4th of July probably in decades. So it was me reflecting on actually having plans for a holiday of a social nature. So that was pretty interesting. And it was all in all, it was a very special week. I think there were 5 days on which there were specials, and I sort of write down at the end of the column on this spreadsheet that I keep week by week what the specials are, and I can go back many weeks and there was not even a special, and then last week there was 5 days in which there were specials. So that's pretty interesting. So what I'd like to talk about tonight is sort of the interconnectedness of how I look at the world, and I wanted to start out by reading some poetry written by a popular artist. I'm going to change some words, but I think that you'll recognize the lyrics of the song. Here goes. Every little thing you do is magic. Everything you do just turns me on. Even though my life before was tragic, now I know my love for you goes on. And that's, of course, a police song, and the lyrics are nominally written by the artist Sting. I'm not sure he actually wrote those lyrics, or what role Sting actually plays in the greater entertainment industry. But they're attributed to him, so we'll just say they were written by him. And I was just reflecting on that as I was driving on my bike and trailer, driving a load of compost from the little town I live in, one town over, to give it to someone in our little compost network. And I've been hit by this before, but I hadn't reflected on that particular song lyric in this way, to think about the depth of the magic that we live in. And that every soul, you could just say every particle that you can't even imagine exists, is receiving the experience that it requires. Not the one that it's had before, but the one that it requires in order to broaden itself. Because a soul doesn't exist unless it's getting that, and the soul is very upset unless it's getting what it wants. So it's always getting that. So that starts to talk to the depth of souls and how many different choices the soul has, and the orchestrated dance that we do so that all parties here are getting what they need all the time. That every little choice that we make might seem free, but it does have constraints, because you only have a certain number of choices, because on the other side of that choice is something that you want or something that your soul needs. So all of the other choice sets by all of the other things that all of the other souls are likewise constrained, but the bandwidth of choice, even in our quote-unquote choice-limited, infertile, becoming less fertile society, the number of choices is, of course, unfathomably magnificent. So, from my background, having been trained as a chemist, having been a physical chemist, having been taught probability theory, you know, the Schrodinger equation, where everything's a probability equation, and there's a probability of the electron being over here and a probability of the electron being over here. That's a really arrogant theory that's basically saying everything is probability. Well, are we probably having this experience that the soul needs, or are we probably having that experience that the soul needs? No, we're having this experience that the soul needs with a certainty, and the certainty is the soul's orchestration of choices. And there isn't a probability of something, there's a certainty of an outcome. And it's not the soul is a baby, it's an infant, it's, you know, it's crying and it's saying, wah, wah, wah. The soul is getting what it wants because it has to have that. It has to have what's next for it. That's what we're all here for. We're all here for what's next. Is, however, a huge, wide bandwidth of things that we can accept, which are the choices that we can make in a given situation that will fulfill us. They are the things that we need. And it's pretty amazing the choices that we can make. We can make a choice to completely change our life. We can basically say, you know, I've been going to work. I've been getting up at this hour and going to work and doing this job, and it just doesn't do it for me anymore. And even though it's making me an incredible amount of money, and even though most people would say you should be incredibly happy with this career outcome, something will start to bug you. And this something started to bug me in 2005. It actually started in 2004. And I didn't even know that that part of my life was being shed. But the question started in my mind is just me starting to reflect on my life, starting to see me, you know, getting up, you know, doing the same thing, going to work Monday to Friday. Friday ends, drive to my mom's, clean up the yard, watch, you know, maybe go to a movie with a friend, get back in the car on Sunday afternoon, drive back to my apartment in the Princeton area, Monday to Friday, and it was just, the question just started in my mind. The question was, is this it? And I was a very quote-unquote normal salary person. I didn't appreciate any of the things that I talk about today. But the question just started in my mind. Is this it? And that question basically shed my life. Because it got to be so big in my mind that I started to have a lot of stress over that, and I didn't even know why the stress was occurring. I couldn't say, well, the stress is occurring because of this. Well, the stress was occurring because my soul needed to be somewhere else doing something else, and it was going to put me there. And it was like, you know, okay, all methods for moving Alan from A to B are now on the table. Alan is about to be yanked from, you know, the 9 to 5 into the ever-expanding world of the weird. So the choices that you make to jump from one method of thinking, from just poking along to a completely different, being a completely different person, is completely rational to the soul, completely irrational to society. Like, society's like, you did what? But the soul is just like, candidate 4 had to be over there in 5 years, or candidate 4 had to be there overnight, so there was traffic accident and the transition was made. These things seem to be odd or seem to be without any consistent logic, but they're never outside of the logic or the scope of the soul. And to see, to begin to appreciate the magnitude of the dance that we do, and literally the love that we have, not just for the people that we know, but the love that we have for strangers who are driving in cars as we drive, and as I drive my bicycle and trailer with a load of compost heap on, like a load of compost on top of it. The love of every person who doesn't know me, who passes me in the car. I mean, we're not strangers. They don't know me. Of course they know me. They're passing me in the car. It doesn't matter what road they're on anywhere. They know me. they feel me. We have a relationship because the choices that I make affect the choices that they make, but it's all encapsulated inside of this experience of expansion of our souls. And that's what we do. We love to become more capable and more skillful. This is all training. This is all, where are we going to go tomorrow? Let's feed ourselves with more and become more skillful. So just to see the connectedness of the whole and the striving of the whole for what is naturally a more broadly trained tomorrow is basically what I wanted to talk about and what I wanted to motivate in the first part of tonight's program. It is what I view as the natural state of how we are. And I was encouraged, but I don't go that way now. I was encouraged to think of it all as one. Think of it all as one anymore. I think of it all as we're each a separate contractor, each working for a separate soul, not working for one, quote unquote, an all encompassing God, but working for separate GODs. Some doing this and some doing that, and each GOD having its own choice will, shall we say, its own wish to do choices. Therefore, you're not limiting the flavor of the GOD. You're basically saying, your GOD, go do what you GOD wish to do. So that's my little, it's just so interesting to see, to have motivated what I just motivated, but then to start going through from the beginning of the talk, now being able to say sort of what I want to say, which is that poem is incredibly accurate. And it's not a it's not an entertainment throwaway set of words. It's not trendy. It's not plastic throwaway trash, and that's what you might normally think that's what comes in packages called pop music. But let me read that again with the same pronoun. But actually, let me read the original lyric. And of course, the songwriter is trying to encourage procreation, and as most songwriters like to encourage procreation. So the original lyric is, every little thing she does is magic. Everything she do turns me on, even though my life before was tragic. Now I know my love for her goes on. And that's basically, you're nothing without a relationship. And to be turned on by the she, which is, you know, okay, farm animals, let's think of some more farm animals. which, you know, it doesn't work for me anymore. But that's not the deeper level. It's the everything everyone does is magic. And everything everyone does turns everyone on. And regardless, I mean, no one's life is tragic at any point. And they're just basically trying to say, oh, your life without the woman was tragic. It's just pretty much of a little, you know, be depressed if you're not in a relationship. But we can leave that to the side and say, now I know my love for her goes on. Now I know my love for everything is eternal. So I was sort of, you know, thinking today, okay, what are my thoughts that I want to bring together for tonight's show, and what do I actually want to talk about tonight? And as usually happens, I just ran into this little thought, and it's actually something to stop and really think about. That we're taught this probability theory, and magic and the interrelationship of all things, and the dance that we do, and our connectedness, and what we are doing here to build up the skills of all parties in a cooperative way. That's all just pushed away, and it's not something that is discussed. And I like to look at that because I like to think about it, because I like to encourage myself with the divinity of the space that we're in, not so much because it is divinity, but the nature of it is so incredible. And because we've been encouraged to think of what we do as being mundane, we don't use it in the magic way. We don't use it and say, we use it to step as if we are mundane. We don't use it to step as if we are divine. Because if I'm encouraged to think I'm mundane, I can step some, I will always just say, oh, I can't possibly do that because all of my steps are mundane. Whereas if I think of myself as magic, and I think of myself as having the capability to make a choice which will have a huge impact, because I make that choice, just because I step someplace, means that the universe has to bend in order to take accounting of my stepping. So at this point, I'd like to take a break and come back and talk about that a little bit more after the break. And as always, here's Dav the Bard, Green and Gray. Thank you.
and the 1st of May. A man in black came walking into a wooden glade, following the sounds of pipes on this beautiful spring day, high from the music that they made. But what beheld him within that place? A look of recognition fell across his face. Oh Lucifer, oh Lucifer, why do you appear to me? For I am a man of God, a priest. I'm no devil, I'm father to the man. I have been here since the earth began. Neither black nor white, priest, hear what I say. I'm green and gray.
tune in to International Pagan Radio, you can hear your favorite artists such as Dave the Bard, Tuatha Dea, Spiral Rhythm, S.J. Tucker, Murphy's Midnight Rounders, and many, many more. Join us for exciting shows like Ask a Witch and Storytime with Rook as well. www.internationalpaganradio.com on the net or on TuneIn Radio on your mobile devices. Join us on Facebook and Twitter too. International Pagan Radio, all pagan, all the time.
Welcome back to an emerging forest on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We hope everyone was able to stretch their legs and get a drink. And now, back to Alan.
Well, welcome back, everyone. Was being conditioned to think that the next place that we put our foot, the next act, is something of a mundane nature. When, if you understand, somebody's watching you, because their choice for their next action has to take into account what you just did, you start to understand how powerful your next step is. And that if one person steps outside of the social envelope, it broadens the experience. And that if someone's agenda, the drive toward infertility, that the way to battle that isn't with direct confrontation, it's actually to expand fertility and possibly to be ready for a reaction, but it's actually to reply in the field, as in the field, to reply in the field. Because to reply with direct action is mundane, whereas to apply in the field, A, it makes that field a regenerated field, but it also allows others the freedom to act, and it also forces others to act as a result of your action. Put your action down in a mundane way, other actions just may very well be forced by logic to be mundane. But if you act outside of the prescribed, this is a normal way to act, yes, this is within the there's the start of the book of how to act, and there's the end of the book of how to act. Well, if you just say, gee, I'm just going to do something that's outside of the book of how to act, it may cause others who can act outside of the book to act outside of the book, consent, just give up and say, oh, I'm a mundane creature and we're not connected and everything's mundane. That's where you live. I don't live there anymore. So I serve fertility, and I serve the fertility in others, and I try to do as much in a day to do that, and sometimes I'm quote-unquote lazy, and sometimes I'm not quote-unquote lazy, but I'm trying to encourage myself to be a little bit less sleepy some days. So that's sort of the end of how I see the nature of what we do and how I see expansion and utility is. It's bringing the outside and what you want to do and what you really want to do out into the world, and looking at the present status quo and saying, if you want to continue with the status quo, or do you want to do something by putting your left foot down, and the metaphor of speaking, actually putting your foot down is to act and to put it over there in that new position where your new action has guided you to put that foot, and to realize the nature and how powerful you really are in putting your foot over there. Recall the number of times people have come to me when I was in an odd situation and just saying, Alan, you should do this, and you should save this part of your life, and you shouldn't just be so calm going into this place that you're going into. And what they're actually saying is, I'm incredibly uncomfortable as to what the result of your action is going to be for myself and for my future. Because I'm completely comfortable with where I was going, even though it was someplace that I had no idea where I was going at the time. So that's sort of the first part of what I wanted to talk about on this Sunday. And the second part is of necessity going to be a bit shorter than that. But I've been wrestling with discovering the nature of people and discovering that some people have surgically altered themselves or altered themselves by taking, hormone therapies in order to look like someone that they're not, in order to look like the opposite sex when they weren't born as the opposite sex. And this has nothing to do with people who have sexual identity crises. This is more of an offensive tactic used by one set of very dedicated people to achieve their end. And I think that's part of what's going on as we are. But I had spent an incredible amount of time, and I usually do spend these incredible amounts of time studying a topic in order to achieve knowledge in it, but then understanding what the riddle behind all of that activity was. And the riddle was not so much understanding how to identify these people, but the riddle was that doesn't matter. That if someone has done something to themselves, that certainly identifies them as having done something to themselves, but that doesn't matter to me. What matters to me, how is that person acting today? How is that person acting as the present in the game of fertility? How are they acting toward the land? How are they acting toward other people? Are they diversifying the game space? Are they bringing a tomorrow about? Are they acting with every motion and every place where they put their next foot down? Are they acting to expand the possibilities? Are they improving, as I said last week, our quality of life, our quality of life is directly connected to the quality of the soil, to the quality of the fruit of that soil. So you could say that for a while there, I was hung up in discovery about something, just another flavor of sexism, racial division. Oh, he's a she and she's a he, is not different from that. It is not different from making divisions based on choice of religion, sex, race, anything, or the way you dress, or it's not different than that. So I was once again exploring this because it was shocking, but now having come to the end of exploring it, actually being able to take a step back and see that it was just another flavor of whether you've got an earring on, or it was a deeper flavor than that, but it was nonetheless the same flavor. It was racial tension. It was just another flavor of something like that. It wasn't what is important. It's another method of divide and conquer based on something that's inconsequential. What's consequential is, how is that person acting? Is that person an actor who is using their position to fabricate? And what are they fabricating? And what is the results of the fabrication? Are we, through that fabrication, are we accepting plants being grown in vertical gardens, which doesn't connect them to the soil, which by necessity leads to a less nutritious crop? Are they part of a conclave of actors who are making movies that bring us to, that make the same points, that continue to make racial divisions, that continue to divide and conquer, and continue to demonize certain things, more infertility crafting? So it's not about who someone is. It's not about the clothes, the body, the glasses, the color of any person. It's about what the results of their actions are. So I really look at myself and I just say, who am I? Because I don't know who I am. I just go through these contortions in my head and talk to my various friends that I have, and they just say, oh, that's an interesting thought that you've had. It seems that this is now moved around here, or we have deep conversations about it. But I don't know why I realize these things. And I don't know why I move like I do. It's because I'm this servant, this servant of a soul that's doing something that I can't understand and will never understand. And I have to be satisfied with knowing that in every moment that's the way things are. I'd like to end this hour by saying the choices that you make and where you step are incredibly important, and they define you. They define you as someone who's willing to dare, and it doesn't matter where you're stepping outside of the box. It just matters that you step. And I'd like to encourage you with the knowledge of not your mundane nature, but your magical nature, and the knowledge that you can bring back in the broader bandwidth of fertile choice is the society that we're in. And its brand of action is no different than all other action. It's still quote unquote action, and the actions that we take within this subset of the full area that we could be exploring, those actions are of equal value to those outside. But because we are in this encapsulated area, we're so much less broad, and we've lost our ferocity, gained fragility. And it is not because we didn't make the choice. We made the choice to come here and to be this way. And for whatever reason, I've chosen to regain my ferocity, or to begin to go through the painful process of broader. And I don't know that exactly it is painful. It is a realization of learning new skills. And once you understand that, it seems painful, but that's actually the most prized part. Your taste for adventure changes the way you see things. And being in quote-unquote mental or muscular pain is the reward. Pain is its own reward, one could say, or one could just fall back and say, no pain, no gain. So pain is the sauce. Pain is what you're looking for. And fear becomes what you're looking for, because if there's no fear, it's okay, this is everything is completely familiar, what's next? So I'd like to encourage everyone, as I always do, to go to your what's next, and you'll still be here on the other side of putting your foot down in that unforgivable place, but everyone else will have reacted to what you did. You might not have your job, broader person, and you'll be a different person. And instead of being a reed with only one root down and blowing in the wind and being easily broken off, you'll have another foot down somewhere, and maybe you'll progress and you'll say, oh, I need to put another foot down over there. And you become a much harder weed to pull. And you'll branch out and you'll have a much firmer attachment. It'll be something that isn't dislodgeable, or something that can't be run from one end to the other, it can't be herded. So we've all got choices to make, and just putting everything down and doing something completely different is unthinkable. But when it's time for you to make that change, and it's not time for you to make that change, when your soul decides to make that change, your life will become tumultuous. If your life is tumultuous or stormy or absolute outright terror, you're changing. sauce. That's not the, I want to avoid this. That is the place to go. And I hope that I'm changing myself into someone who is a seeker, is more of a seeker of that, and less of a seeker of the couch or the bed. Retirement. Because expansion isn't in the retirement. Retirement is in the retirement. And that's certainly what you're being encouraged to fall into in this society. Oh me, it's the end of another day. Or oh me, I'm 60-something years old. It's time for it to be over. Time for you to pare down your diet. More whole fruits and vegetables. Time for you to get yourself to the gym and get some pain going on. Time for you to look at the world and say, is this the world I want to come back to? Because you're not a mortal being. Being encouraged to think you're a mortal being with one life means you don't have responsibility for what comes next, and you don't have to come back to it. You have to come back to it. So, really, many choices. Or I don't see that there's too many choices. Be encouraged and say, I've only got one life to live. Or you can say, how many lives have I lived? Because I'm a pretty complicated person. And I didn't just get all that complexity being in this one life. As always, this is Alan Ritter on a show called An Emerging Forest. Her encourages thinking about topics and talking about them. I have a small produce business in southeastern Pennsylvania and southern New Jersey called The Produce Club. The place to find that is produceclub.us. Also by email, you don't need to have Facebook. My email address is RITTER.ALAN88@gmail.com. Have a great week and see you next week. Bye-bye.
For listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.